stocks, bonds, ETFs, straight out of downtown Chicago. This is Zach's Market Edge.
Welcome to Zach's Market Edge, the podcast about investing in your life. I'm your host, Tracy Reinick, and this week I'm joined by Dave Bartosiak, the editor of Zach's Home Run Investor and Momentum Trader. He's in the studio today to talk about one of our favorite topics, which is IPOs, actually. Not all IPOs are created the same, though. So some of them we've looked at over the years and kind of, I don't know, not been pleased that they were going IPO. Let's just put it that way.
We were haters. It's okay.
Yes, we were. We said bad things about several of them. And some of them we turned out to be right on hating on it. And then others, I'm afraid we do have to eat some crow, or at least I do, I know, on a couple of them. So let's jump right into it. Like the ones that, you know, we didn't like, and why didn't we like them? I mean, we didn't like actually all of the ones we're going to talk about today, but like why, what was our reasoning behind not liking them? And then for the ones where we have to eat crow, like things have changed with some of them business-wise. So that's something to keep in mind when you're looking at IPOs.
Then you're not really eating crow because you were right about your concerns, and they just addressed your concerns.
They were a better company than I thought.
That's right.
So let's start with one of the ones that we trashed on our live IPO launch show, Alibaba, ticker, of course, Baba, B-A-B-A. Neither one of us liked it, I don't think, at the time. I know I didn't. Did you? No, you didn't like it either.
No, we were worried about it because of all the things that people are still worried about with some of the Chinese stocks, and that's cooking the books, making up numbers.
Transparency.
Right, lack of transparency over there.
They had gone public earlier, a couple years prior, and then things were too rocky, and then they went back private, and now they were going public again. And their numbers, while good, weren't that good for the price everyone was paying for it. So, yeah, we trashed on that one.
And at the time, we felt like Alibaba was going to be the top of the market.
That's right. Yes,
just like now everybody's like, oh, when Uber finally, you know, has an IPO,
that'll be the one.
That'll be the top of the market.
It was, and I think still is, the largest IPO of all time, Alibaba.
Alibaba?
Yeah.
It was huge.
So far, yeah.
It was huge. And, yeah, so I guess being a hater on that one didn't really work out.
No, that's one of the ones. I did look up, you know, to see kind of what revenues have done for all these companies and all of that since we were hating on them. So their IPO year, fiscal 2015, they had revenues of $12 billion. And now for fiscal 2018, which is just starting now, they're expected to have $34 billion. So
quite a bit of growth there.
They have been growing, yeah. And they've also added some things we didn't talk about, I don't believe, just a couple of years ago, like Alipay is huge now. I don't even remember mentioning that back. I don't even think they had it, did they?
It might have been like the 15th thing that we talked about, because we were on the air for a while, remember?
Almost 3 hours.
So we were definitely trying to fill some time. So I think we did cover pretty much everything we could cover.
But Alipay is huge now. That's like, and expanding outside of China for them into India, and they're trying to get it into Southeast Asia and other markets.
Yeah, so fintech is pretty hot. So any way you can gain exposure to that.
Right. So Alibaba is one of the ones we kind of have to eat crow. Another one that I know I have to eat crow on, because I actually wrote an article here at Zacks.com when they went IPO, that was Facebook, FB.
You hated on Facebook?
I did. I said, I'm so sick of hearing about the IPO. Just get it done with. It was more of just get it done with, but I didn't like the price it was going out at. I felt it was too expensive for what you got. And remember, it was just, you know, mostly a desktop program at the time. They were just launched their mobile app or whatever. They weren't making hardly any revenue at all from the mobile. That part hadn't exploded yet. And then I thought they hadn't acquired Instagram yet, but they had bought it, but they bought it only a month before the IPO.
Yeah.
And so I didn't think that was a factor. I was like, who cares? And I thought they overpaid. Remember, it was $1 billion for Instagram. It seemed absurd. It had like 8 employees or whatever at the time. And everyone was mocking that. And I just felt like, really, Facebook? And I looked up their revenues, 2011. So the year before they went IPO, $3.7 billion. And this coming year, 2017, $39 billion.
Yeah, they were still making money. There was... around the time of the IPO, there was a lot of misconceptions around Facebook because people thought they weren't making any money.
Right.
So I'd explain to a lot of people that, no, we're making about $1 billion a quarter. That's not chump change. But they certainly hadn't, you know, turned the switch over to mobile. And that was kind of the lingering concern that people had was how would they be adopted. But I vividly remember the IPO date because I had buddies of mine in the office who had limit orders at $70 for Facebook. And remember the crash.
Yeah.
And nobody knew where Facebook was trading all day. And then a couple days later, you found out, oh, hey, guess what? You got filled at, you know, 45 or 48 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
A complete embarrassment there.
I wonder. Yeah. I wonder how many of the people who were buying it because their kids were all into it and all of that. And they were buying it for a lot of their kids' college portfolios and all that. There were all those stories. So this was 2012. Well, it's like 5 years later. I wonder how many held it as the shares, you know, really sold off in the months following that IPO and managed to hold on for this nice run that it's had.
I know a few did.
Yeah.
I know a few.
I wish the media would do like some follow-ups on.
Yeah. Because when you're doing that for the kids, you're not as worried, right?
Right.
You buy a couple $1,000 of it. Yeah. It's in the account. You're not going to touch it for 10 years.
Right.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, it's funny how those end up being the accounts that go up over time, too.
The ones that they don't touch. Yes. okay. So another one that it was a couple of years ago now, but I was kind of hating on it just because of valuation reasons, not on necessarily the company, was Shake Shack, which ticker S-H-A-K. Felt like it was too expensive for what you got. It was kind of a faddish type of burger chain where they go into real big tourist areas.
Sure.
And now part of what I felt at the time did come true. They've had trouble growing the older stores that are not in Manhattan or in New York. The New York region is where they are the strongest. But they've encountered a lot of competition in a lot of these other areas they've expanded to. And they've even admitted by like the second or third year, the growth that those older stores really declines.
Sure.
And like everyone was ignoring that part, which they never tried to hide. They did admit like from the beginning that it's hard to grow the same Shack sales like at those stores. But now, you know, shares are down big now. They're at lows since the IPO, but they are growing revenue because they're opening up so many new stores. But I feel like that's kind of false. It's false revenue growth.
We got to come up with a fancy name for this, like burger rush that was happening with all these new burger joints that were opening up everywhere.
A lot are struggling
so
now.
So that you can pay $15 for a burger.
Yes.
It's not going to, when we finally do slow down a little bit and get the recession, who do you think is going to get hit hard? Nobody's going to be paying $15 to go get a burger from Shake Shack.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to happen.
I know. I
agree. So there, but that's if we make it that long with a lot of these places, just because the competition.
Right.
How many there are. We probably rattle off 15 of them right now.
Right. We were talking here in the Chicago area, Smashburger, which had never did an IPO, actually, even though they were being pressured a couple of years ago to do one. They decided not to. But they've been growing really rapidly, and they shut down, I think they had like 20 or 15 to 20 of them in the Chicago area.
Okay.
And they shut down all but four because basically it is too much competition and the brand isn't as well known against homegrown guys. And then you do have all these, the Shake Shacks, the Habits, and even McDonald's, Red Robin.
I mean, like, the list goes on and on.
Yeah. So
and then now that there's new mom and pop spots that open up. And
right.
There's like, what, the Burger Boss or whatever that they had?
Yeah. That's and a then, New York chain,
just,
I think.
You know, insert Boston. Burger name here.
Yes.
Just too many burgers.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't have to eat crow on that one because I never liked it when it launched, but I am watching it for value play maybe in the future. I don't know. But it's still not cheap enough still.
Where is it at?
I don't know. Right around $30, I think. But it's off the high. I don't
like the PE.
Oh, it's like insanely high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For
it's
burgers,
like 160
especially.
Times or something crazy because it's just not, you know, it's just not making it on earnings on that side still. So let's talk about one that's more recent. I don't think either of us like this one either, but Snapchat, when they
Nobody likes it.
Yeah, now the shares are way down. I couldn't even find 2016 revenue. Did they have any? They must have had something, obviously. But they're expected $893 million this year. I don't know. This is one of those that's...
One thing that you know, I caution against is there's a lot of this kind of like, you know, I don't want to get off topic, but you have like the Bitcoin situation, right? You have people who don't understand it, therefore badmouth it, right?
Right.
Okay. So with the Snap thing initially, you could hear it like, well, what the heck? I don't need to put a doggy face and send it out. It's so stupid. Like, I don't get it. So I didn't want to get in that camp where I was writing it off just because I didn't really understand it.
Right.
I think that's a silly thing to do. But after really, you know, digging into it and looking through it, then I understood why I'm not buying it. And then the other thing is, you don't bet the jockey, or you don't bet the horse, you bet the jockey, right? And the guy running the show over there was pretty cocky about how he's not worried about Facebook coming over and all. Like, you need to address the fact that Facebook is coming after you, okay? Yeah, Facebook isn't some old, slow company that's trying to enter a new... It's Facebook, okay?
Yeah.
They know what they're doing. They're very agile. And you got Zuck at the helm, okay? So, because we saw that, and I don't know, there's just like this cockiness that's the perception on Wall Street, that he's like maybe not taking it seriously enough and he's just too cocky, echoed some of the concerns they had with Zuckerberg early on, you know, coming in dressed up in hoodies to meetings,
right,
and things like that.
Yeah.
Now it's such a big deal. But here, over at Snapchat, it's just that, you know, you have to realize that this is a major competitor that can probably crush you.
Right.
Because they look at what they've done. I mean, I don't know if we want to argue that. I guess you could argue that Facebook is a source of Twitter's pain.
Yeah, it's one of them.
And you see what's happening over there, and they've struggled to kind of turn it around. Well, it's getting a little better, but still. So Snapchat's just got all of that.
Okay.
So and this, more.
So this is one. I never liked it.
We don't have to
for
like
various
it.
Reasons. I know. So we don't have to eat any crow on this one yet.
No, I don't think we ever will.
Will we ever will? No, I don't think so either.
No.
No. Okay. No. So I feel pretty confident.
And I'm going to go out on a limb and say the next iteration of that, I'm going to hate too. So, you know, first we start with, 140 characters on Twitter.
Right.
Or whatever. And then, look at this picture on Instagram, although Facebook owns them. So it's different. And then now, we're going to do quick little videos that we're all going to watch.
Right.
And then so what's after that? You know, holograms? Like, I don't know what it is. Whatever it is, whatever that new thing is, I'm not going to like that either.
Yeah. What about a company this kind of reminds me of Snap, but it's been around a few more years now, Fitbit. Mm-hmm. That was kind of like, I never understood that. What? You're buying the thing, you count the number of steps and all that. That
right.
seemed real faddish to me. And it's kind of turning out a couple of years now since that IPO to be somewhat true. Their revenue is actually on the decline now compared to 2016. They made $2.1 billion this year, expected only 1.6, so a decline of 25%.
Yeah.
So Fitbit, I don't really remember taking a position on them originally, except I did not use Fitbit, so I felt like, I wasn't excited about their IPO.
You know what Fitbit reminds me of? Garmin.
Oh.
Just that like quirky little, you know, niche company that does, you know, one thing, and that's their thing. And then they blew up for a while and got very popular, but I think they're going to linger. I think they're going to be stubborn. They're going to linger and they're going to figure something out. They were just ahead of where we were, right?
Right.
Just as a society in general. Like we're not ready to monitor ourselves like that, right? Like having a pedometer was fun. Like I bought my mom a pedometer because she wanted to count how many steps. Even though I do that on my phone now, right? I don't even need anything.
Oh, okay.
It's just embedded in it. It tells me how many steps I take every day. But then so Fitbit, you know, measuring these certain things, your sleep and your heart rate and stuff, we're just not ready for that yet, I guess, to be told by a device if we're healthy or not. Or how healthy we should be.
Yeah.
But that will come, I think.
Okay.
Over the course of the next 10 years, 15 years, as the features develop and you'll have actual information there that you're going to want, other than just like, look, I took so many steps and this is my heart rate.
Right.
And this is how many calories are burned. You know, that's just kind of like, it's like a fun thing, but it's not an essential thing.
Right.
But if you can start monitoring some more essential, diagnostics of my body, so I know that I'm not going to die tomorrow because that's all in there.
Right.
You know, then that's going to, but right now it's just kind of like, it's fun, but Yeah. You don't really need it.
So you're not totally down on this one.
No.
You're in a wait and see, it sounds like.
I'm in a wait and see.
See if they
let them, you know, they're going to have to right the ship eventually.
Right.
They're going to have to say, okay, these expectations were too high, right? The Fitbit story reminds me a lot of Nike's little experiment that they had with putting, and I forget, Nike Plus, I think it was, where they had like your shoe could tell you how high you jumped.
Right.
And how far you were running and all of this stuff. And then they just kind of,
that kind of went away.
They went away from it. And it wasn't because it was terrible technology. It was just the market just wasn't there yet. We're just not ready for that yet. So I think eventually that is going to come back around. And maybe it does come in these little fads. But I think over time that fad, you know, you need to have these early fads come and go for something more sustainable to develop in the future.
Okay, let's switch gears to some retail side of things. Now, you've moved to South Florida, so you might not be as aware of the Canada Goose craziness. Oh, it's super popular here in Chicago.
3 years ago, it was all over here.
Okay, so you're still, you know what I'm talking about. They make winter coats, and they have a little logo on the front, sure. A little patch. They're about $1,000 for just one coat, I think, from them. But they went IPO. They made $220 million in revenue last year, expected to make $308 million this year, up 38%. So they do have some growth there.
Yeah, because they got popular.
They did. So I feel like this is kind of a faddish thing,
100%.
Too. Okay. But they did announce that they know they can't sell you a winter coat anymore, Dave, because you're down in Florida.
That's right. So, I'm not buying it.
Right. So they're trying to go into the knitwear area and sell like $250 sweaters and that kind of thing. So
okay. You
and people in like Georgia and and California and such, you might want to buy a sweater in case you head north or,
sure.
I don't know, some cold blast comes down occasionally.
Well, yeah. I mean, in Miami, winter showed up on a Wednesday. It got down to 58 degrees.
See, you would bust out the sweater.
And I had to put
case.
On a sweater.
See, I knew it.
It was a rough day.
I know. I've been out there. I've been in Florida when it was like 45 suddenly in a strange freak thing.
Oh, yeah.
And the winter coats do get busted out if they have one.
Yeah, I froze in Jacksonville once. I mean, yeah. It was really cold. But that's not Miami. But
so you know, what do you think of this one? This is G-O-O-S.
I wish I had a button. We need like a button that we could press. Okay, so starter jackets, those big, those North Face,
yeah,
you know, pullovers. And
there's
then,
a lot of competition.
I mean, the list can. No, I'm just talking about the history of life.
Oh,
and what was super popular and then goes out, and then super popular and then goes out.
Very hard in retail.
Like that is certainly a fad, no question.
All right, yeah, I've been kind of hating on the Canada Goose.
Are you wearing UGG boots with that? No, because UGG boots already came and left too.
They did. You can still buy that stock though.
Yeah, exactly. So, UGG.
You might not want to.
If Canada Goose, if you want to know where you're going, take a look at UGG.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah.
All right, so we're hating on that one. I don't think I'm going to have to eat crow on that one. I know.
Hey.
Sorry, Canada Goose. How about this other one? You might not have been aware this one went IPO because it didn't get much publicity, but I thought it was kind of a fun one. Yoga Works. Ticker is Yoga.
Yoga Works.
Dave, you're looking at me like crazy. They're based in Santa Monica and they have 40 locations, but it's a yoga studio.
40 locations in your public.
Yes. Can you believe this? This is what's happening out there.
That's
this,
right up there.
Like,
with
upsets
the,
me.
Are we going to talk about the spin cycle places and all that too?
Oh, that's right. Soul
that's
Cycle.
All Soul Cycle.
They haven't gone IPO yet though. But if these guys can, if Yoga Works can go IPO, mm-hmm. then what is any of the cycle places, what are they waiting for?
And there's a ton of them now. Soul Cycle
yeah.
is another one.
Yeah.
Right. And then
all these,
and there's all sorts of new ones popping up and they are, guess it's
what
kind
about,
of piggybacking
what,
on that active sportswear
yeah.
fad kind of thing
too.
Do you
too. Like
it's
this area?
In line. No.
No.
Again, okay. It's going to be the same thing.
These are all kind of expensive.
Like, hey, you get to spend $250 yeah. a month so you can come hang out and stretch.
Yeah. Okay.
And why? What's the barrier? Who cares about that brand versus another brand versus
right.
another? Like if
there
I
is
get,
no barrier.
If I get sick of you, I just go there. It's like the gyms, right?
Yeah.
If I get sick of LA Fitness, I'm going to go to.
The gym stocks have always had. But what about Planet Fitness? That was a recent IPO a couple of years ago. They have a little
Planet
bit different
fitness whole pizza in my mouth.
Right. They serve the pizza once a week or whatever. And
yeah.
it's only $10 a month. So they have a different model.
It certainly
model.
Is.
All right.
It certainly is.
I'm still not a big fan of any of the fitness, to be honest.
No, I mean, it's a great, you know, because you get the recurring revenue stream, right? So that's good.
Yeah.
But, you know, when your, like, revenue stream is built on people not being able to cancel because you make it so difficult.
I won't ask which one that is.
You know, what's all of them? They're in trouble for stuff like that.
I know. Now. I know.
But anyway, it's there's a lot of competition in that space too, obviously. And I think it's hard to be on a national scale and a huge growth company when you're a yoga studio. Like,
right.
Again, there's no barrier to entry. And there's what's going to keep me coming back to yoga studio A versus yoga studio B versus, because these are all fads too. And, yeah. And then you never know. It's like, oh, the Vikram yoga is cool. And then everybody's like, no, it really smells in there. I got to go somewhere else. And then they got a different kind of yoga thing. And it just cycles right through. It's all fad. That's super fad.
So
stuff.
Stay away from the fad company IPOs.
Unless you're there for a quick buck.
Right. Right. Of course, you can trade any of these.
Sure.
But like longer term investors. Now, what about the ones coming up? You know, everybody been waiting for Uber or Airbnb these days.
Keep on waiting.
Well, the new Uber CEO said within 36 months, they might be able to do an IPO over there. That's less than, you know, only a couple of years.
Well, there's some solid stuff from him.
Well,
in less than 36 months, we might be able to have an IPO about. Of course, you got to say that. Yeah. How are you going to attract any new money if you have no timeline to get
true.
Out of
that
the
game? That is true.
That thing is so convoluted. All they did was build up a giant war chest so that they could, you know, be in court trying to figure this stuff out.
Yeah.
I still can't figure out how Uber even started. I don't know. Other than people just hated cabs so much
that
they're like, something has to change. Because they just took their medallion system and just punted it into the East River.
Yes.
And that was it. Yeah. And now all of a sudden this thing sprouts up. Like, why? Because we have phones now. Uber's okay. It doesn't make any sense to me. But that's why they're in lawsuits everywhere all the time.
Well, they, you know, have been losing billions of dollars a year as well.
Billions.
Billions with a B.
Billions. But somebody's going to figure it out.
Okay.
Eventually.
What
right?
about Airbnb? I think they're a little bit better off.
They are better off because they're not, you know, eviscerating certain protective industries, right?
So you feel like the hotels and all that can compete with Airbnb.
Yeah, because you go to a hotel because of the service, right? They're taking care of me. I'm all good. If I want to just rent out a room from somebody, like I'm not going to the hostel. Like the hostel's not competing with the Ritz.
That's true.
Right?
Good
so
point.
Somebody's house, some condo downtown is not going to compete with a 5-star hotel. Like I want that experience of being pampered and everything's all taken care of and don't worry about it versus, you know, somebody's house. There's still like that risk, right? You're like, I don't know how long this mattress has been here.
That is true.
Like you have no 100%. Idea.
Yeah.
No. So there's a certain amount of quality control that you have, you know, with that. I mean, you know, sometimes I get nervous about food trucks.
Yeah. Well,
you know, versus restaurants. Like I get tamales from the tamale guy sometimes, right? But it's pretty sketchy. It's just some guy walking around with a
Nothing ever happens from those, like the carts and like the weird things like that. Why is that? Like you never hear about anyone, you know, getting the food poisoning from the weirder things.
That's true. Maybe
like, even in the third world, even when I go to like, you know, other countries where it's common just to have the food stalls just like out in the parks or whatever, nobody's inspecting any of that stuff. And you never... It's never really an issue.
Well, I know in Florida because I looked into this.
Oh, okay.
I was going to do a hot dog cart.
Oh.
Shameless Dave's.
Okay.
Right? Hot dog cart on the beach. You got to get it from a commissary. And there's actually regulation everywhere pretty much on
That's
those
good.
Things. So they are regulated.
All
it's
right,
just not,
I feel better.
Yeah. It's just not as it. Now, I can't speak for the third world countries.
No. See, those are the ones.
But.
I don't feel that they are.
But anyway, so the thing is, Airbnb, I think, would be. Something to definitely look at.
Okay.
Just because they've kind of, you've taken, you know, something that is illiquid pretty much, right? Like your house, what you have there, you know, it's not that liquid. And now you've created little pockets of liquidity inside of it.
Yeah.
Because you're able to rent out part of it for, you know, a certain period of time and get some money back. So that's interesting. Anytime you can like unfreeze liquidity, it's very interesting and it creates value for everybody.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll be watching both of those, but could be a while before you and I sit down for an Uber IPO show, maybe Airbnb before. Can you think of any others?
What valuation is Uber going to come public
at? I don't know. I don't know. And that's why it'll be a couple of years.
And who do you think is going to get the, you know, who's going to have the money in that? Who's, I mean, it's
so
it's,
many investors.
You know how many hands are out for that thing?
Tons.
Somebody's going to lose.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be the retail guy that's picking up the tab for everything.
Right. Good point. So anything else you can think about that might be coming on the horizon that I haven't covered? Can't really. Those are the two big ones. Snap was the other one, and then they finally went IPO. So
yeah, Snap was a bit. Palantir.
Oh, that's right. That's the other one.
Big one.
And maybe Pinterest. Forgot about Pinterest. Everyone forgets about them.
Well, if we forgot about it before the IPO, we're going to forget about it after they go IPO. But Palantir is going to be huge. When it finally, that's like big data, creating a nice user interface so that you can sift through all that. They work with a lot of governments on, you know, G14 classified stuff.
That's right.
But that's a huge company, that's doing big things and it has been doing so for several years now. So that's going to be a big one.
Those are a couple to watch then. Well, if YogaWorks can go IPO, then anything's possible.
We need to. I'd like to meet that CEO and shake his hand, his or her, hand or her hand. Yeah, I didn't want to be sexist there. Or their
funding,
hand, because
right?
Let's not be, you know, could be there.
Could be.
Okay.
All right. So let's recap the tickers we talked about today. Facebook, FB. Do you still like Facebook here at these levels?
For,
would you be a buyer?
For your kids?
Either
yes.
way. Yeah. Okay.
For me, I'm okay on Facebook. I think I'm taking a wait and see approach over the course of the next couple of weeks here. I think I need to find some healthcare names that are, I mean, Cookers, Healthcare Innovators has just been killing it.
The biotechs have been real hot.
Just killing it. Because Trump's FDA is very accommodating.
That's right.
And that's not going to change.
No.
So we've got at least 3 more years of an accommodating FDA.
Okay.
So I think looking at experimental things is, and drugs is still definitely a place to go.
All right.
So any of those IPOs that might be coming up.
Okay.
I would definitely roll the dice.
You know what
on.
Area is going to be real hot in the healthcare IPO market is going to be the software companies, like any that are doing, you know, medical record software and all of that, because that's in such big demand. And there's a lot of companies that are smaller that have been getting funding from.
And a lot in Chicago.
DC. Yeah. And that they very likely will be doing IPOs soon. So that's an area to watch. We'll definitely be checking in on that. Okay. So we had Facebook, FB, Alibaba, BABA, Shake Shack, SHAK, Canada Goose, GOOS, Snapchat, of course, is Snap, SNAP. I always call it Snapchat. It's technically Snap Inc., I think.
Yeah, now it's just Snap.
Yeah. So, but forget it. I'll call it Snapchat. YogaWorks is Yoga. That's easy. YOGA. And Fitbit is Fit, of course, FIT. So if you want to listen to any of the other podcasts Dave and I have done, we did a recent one on the automakers. Dave, that was before the hurricane and all that. Does that change any of the belief about peak autos or demand or anything now that all these cars, at least in Texas, are going to need to be replaced? And then we don't know in Florida, you know, knock on wood down there, it's not as bad, but
no.
Okay. So it's still peak auto.
Go ahead, hop in. Anybody out there wants to hop in, I'll be on the other side of that trade.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm kind of staying away from the auto stuff too.
Okay, so something like 3%, they're saying 3% of the entire U.S. demand for auto sales is likely to come out of Houston coming out of this thing, right? But you already have how many days where you haven't been selling any cars?
Right.
Everything on your lot is destroyed. Now you got to bring in new stuff coming in that's being produced. And it's going to take a while. Okay, and if your house just washed away, what does your down payment situation look like for your new car?
Yeah.
Right? Not to mention, used car prices are still pretty low because all those other cars have been coming off a lease. So I don't know that the Houston market is going to offset those things.
Okay.
I don't think it will. And I think it's a temporary blip at best, and you still have these major headwinds.
One area that I probably would want to stay away from are the auto retailers, because those are the ones, you know, with the lots, the cars on the lots down there, and the ones that have a big Texas presence are going to feel
it. Anybody insuring that?
Well, there might be business insurance.
And how much? Oh, this is going to be a good one. how much of these, of those cars that are literally underwater,
right,
were underwater.
Well,
and didn't
that.
Have gap coverage.
Well, yeah, we're going to find
and
out.
And then now
those stuff.
Loans are going to be bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll see.
Well, yeah. Okay. So you can check out that podcast as well on Apple Podcast, which is iTunes, and also on SoundCloud. Be sure to subscribe over there so you don't miss any of our episodes, because we are putting out a new one every week and you never know what we might be talking about. So for everyone here at Saks, I'll see you again next time.